Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The 4-Hour Workweek Escape 9-5, Live Anywhere. And Join the New Rich is a nonfiction guide to lifestyle design by Timothy Ferris, with the audiobook version narrated by Ray Porter. First published in 2007 and later expanded and updated, the book sits at the intersection of entrepreneurship, productivity, remote work, and personal finance. Its purpose is to challenge the deferred life plan, the assumption that people should spend their healthiest years working intensively and postpone freedom until retirement. Ferris proposes a different model built around time, mobility, and selective income rather than conventional career advancement alone. The book is organized around the DEAL framework definition, elimination, automation, and liberation. It does not simply argue for working less. It presents a sequence of methods for deciding what matters, removing low-value work, creating semi-automated income, and separating income from location. Its influence comes from combining practical tactics with a provocative critique of work culture. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the DEAL framework turns lifestyle design into a staged process. The central structure of the 4-hour workweek is DEAL definition, elimination, automation, and liberation. This sequence matters because Ferris does not begin with business tactics or travel advice. He begins with redefining goals. Definition asks readers to specify what they want in concrete terms, often by replacing vague ambitions such as being rich with desired experiences, freedoms, and recurring monthly costs. This reframes money as a tool for lifestyle capacity rather than an abstract scoreboard. Elimination then reduces work by identifying activities that consume time without producing meaningful results. Automation focuses on income systems, delegation, and process design so that earning does not depend entirely on personal labor. Liberation applies these changes to location and schedule, making mobility possible through remote work, entrepreneurship, or negotiated flexibility. The framework is effective because it treats freedom as a design problem with dependencies. A person who tries to travel before reducing obligations may simply move stress to another place. A person who automates without clear goals may optimize the wrong work. DEAL gives the book its practical architecture and distinguishes it from looser productivity advice. Secondly, elimination uses selective focus to attack busy work rather than effort itself. One of the most practical sections of the book is its emphasis on elimination. Ferris draws heavily on the 80-20 principle, often called the Pareto principle, to argue that a minority of tasks, clients, products, or decisions usually produces a majority of useful results. The implication is not that work has no value, but that unfiltered work can become self-perpetuating. Meetings, constant email, administrative checking, and low-yield obligations may feel responsible while preventing higher impact action. Ferris also invokes Parkinson's Law, the idea that work expands to fill the time available, to encourage shorter deadlines and tighter constraints. Together, these ideas form a method for compressing work, identify the few activities that produce measurable outcomes, reduce or remove the rest, and create rules that prevent distraction from returning. This is one reason the book resonated with knowledge workers before remote work became mainstream. It recognized that modern work often rewards availability more than output. The limitation is that not every job allows aggressive filtering, especially roles with safety, caregiving, legal, or team dependency requirements. Still, the analysis remains useful as a diagnostic tool for separating productivity from mere responsiveness. Thirdly, automation depends on systems, delegation, and income that is not tied to hours. Ferris uses automation to address a core problem if income depends entirely on personal time. Freedom remains limited even when work becomes more efficient. His solution is to build or redesign income streams so that routine operations can be handled by systems, contractors, suppliers, or virtual assistants. In the book, he calls the ideal small automated business a muse, meaning a low-maintenance venture designed to fund a chosen lifestyle rather than become an all-consuming company. The concept favors simple products, measurable demand, outsourced fulfillment, and clear customer acquisition channels. Ferris also discusses delegating personal and business tasks to overseas assistants, a tactic that was especially novel to many readers when the book appeared. The deeper principle is process externalization tasks should be documented, repeated, and transferred when they do not require the owner's unique judgment. This approach is not effortless. It requires testing, quality control, capital discipline, and willingness to abandon weak ideas. Some examples in the book feel dated because online commerce and outsourcing markets have changed. Yet the underlying lesson remains relevant. Time freedom usually requires assets, systems, or leverage, not just better personal discipline. Fourthly, liberation challenges the assumption that work must be tied to one place. the liberation stage focuses on separating work from a fixed location and a conventional schedule. Ferris argues that many employees and entrepreneurs accept geographic constraints by default, even when their actual output could be produced remotely. For employees, the book offers strategies for demonstrating productivity away from the office, proposing trial periods, and making remote arrangements less risky for managers. For business owners, liberation means designing operations that can be monitored through metrics and handled by others without constant physical presence. This part of the book anticipated later conversations about remote work, digital nomadism, and asynchronous communication. Its importance lies in treating mobility not as a vacation reward, but as an operating requirement that must be built into work itself. Ferris also promotes mini-retirements, extended periods of travel or non-work distributed throughout life rather than concentrated after decades of employment. This idea directly attacks the traditional retirement model. The practical constraint is that mobility depends on income stability, health needs, family responsibilities, legal residency rules, and job type. The book is strongest when read as a framework for increasing optionality, not as a universal promise that anyone can immediately live anywhere. Lastly, the book is provocative because it combines useful tools with a deliberately extreme ideal. The title, The 4-Hour Workweek, is intentionally provocative. And much criticism of the book comes from taking the number literally. Ferris uses the extreme ideal to force a question: how much of current work is truly necessary to produce the desired income and life? This rhetorical strategy makes the book memorable, but it can also mislead readers who expect a simple escape from labor. The methods often require intense upfront work, entrepreneurial risk, experimentation, negotiation, and tolerance for uncertainty. The book is best understood as a challenge to default assumptions rather than a guaranteed formula. Its strongest contributions are its insistence on measuring outputs instead of hours, pricing lifestyle goals instead of chasing unlimited wealth, and building systems that reduce dependence on personal availability. But its weakest points are the uneven applicability of some tactics and the dated feel of certain outsourcing and online business examples. Even so, the book remains influential because it gave a name and structure to ideas that later became widespread: remote work, lifestyle entrepreneurship, automation, and the pursuit of time wealth. Its value lies less in the exact 4-hour claim than in the disciplined examination of what work is for. In conclusion, The 4-Hour Workweek is most useful for entrepreneurs, freelancers, online business owners, consultants, remote workers, and ambitious employees who want to question the structure of their working lives rather than simply become more efficient within it. Readers looking for conventional career planning or a low-risk financial independence manual may find parts of it too aggressive, but those willing to experiment with delegation, selective focus, and remote work design can gain practical tools. Its intellectual benefit is the way it reframes wealth as control over time and location, not only net worth or status. Its practical benefit is a set of prompts for reducing low-value commitments, testing business ideas, documenting repeatable tasks, and negotiating flexibility. Compared with many productivity books, it stands out because it links personal efficiency to business model design. Compared with many entrepreneurship books, it stands out because it does not treat company growth as the final goal. It asks whether the business supports the desired life. Some examples have aged, and the path is not equally available to everyone, but the core critique of busy work, deferred retirement, and location-bound work remains relevant. The book endures because it is both a toolkit and a disruptive argument about the purpose of work. If you would like to support Ray Porter, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.